Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of bids meeting to order. The first order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana, from the Advocate Official Journal for the State of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 43192 through 43226 have been advertised in accordance with and under provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30, the revised statutes of 1950 as amended. Letters of protest. We have a letter of protest on tract number 43200 from Williams Incorporated, dated May 1st, 2013. On tract number 43200, we have a letter of protest from Williams Land Company, LLC, dated May 1st, 2013. And on tract number 43197, we have a letter of protest from Weeks Family, LLC, dated May 1st, 2013. And on tract numbers 43195, 43196, 43198, 43199, and 43200, we have five separate letters of protest from Salt Domes Partnership, dated May 1st, 2013. The staff has reviewed these letters, and the tracts will remain up there or claimable water bottoms within the tract outline. Notification for tracts to be withdrawn from the day sale. There are no tracts to be withdrawn, and we will proceed with the opening of the bids. Thank you.
Three bids on track 43192, advertised as 37 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Old Creek Petroleum, LLC. Old Creek Petroleum, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $11,877. $11,877, or a per acre value of $321. There is no mention of delay rentals on the bid form. Royalties are 20%. As additional consideration is successful in obtaining an oil and gas lease on the referenced property, lessor would attempt to drill a well within 1 year from the date of this said lease. The second bid on track 43192 is for the entire track. The bidder is KEPCO Operating Inc. KEPCO Operating Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $20,693.73. $20,693.73, or a per acre value of $559.29. Annual rentals are $10,350. $10,350. Rentals are 20.6%. The third bid on track 43192 is for the entire track. The bidder is Bell Exploration, Inc. Bell Exploration, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $8,362. $8,362, or a per acre value of $226. Annual rentals are zero. Royalties are 21%. There are no bids on track 43193 or 43194. We did receive one bid on track 43195, advertises 364 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is T.P. Panther Dome, LLC. T.P. Panther Dome, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $204,568. $204,568, or a per-acre value of $562. Annual rentals are $102,284. $102,284. Royalties are 25%. As additional consideration, TP Panther Dome LLC has acquired a non-exclusive seismic permit on these properties from the State Mineral Board, permit number 2011/13-002, and is currently conducting a 3D survey on this area.
Excuse me, Emil. On the previous track, on KEPCO Operating Incorporated, what was the royalty bid?
20.6%.
20.6%. You had said it was the rental instead of royalty. Just wanted to clarify that the royalty bid on KEPCO Operating is 20.6%.
Okay, for track 43192, it was for the entire bid with KEPCO Operating for a three-year primary term, a cash payment of $20,693.73 with a $559.29 per acre value, annual rentals being $10,350, and royalties being 20.6%.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
I said zero.
On track 43192, the bid of Bell Exploration, annual rentals are shown as zero. Annual rentals of zero for track 43192. Okay, we got this one straight now. 195. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43196. We did receive one bid on track 43197, advertised as 23 acres. Now, the bid is for the entire track. The bidder is T.P. Panther Dome, LLC. T.P. Panther Dome, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,926. $12,926, or a per-acre value of $562. Annual rentals are $6,463. $6,463. Royalties are 25%. As additional consideration, TP Panther Dome LLC has acquired a non-exclusive seismic permit on these properties from the State Mineral Board, permit number 2012 slash 13-002 and is currently conducting a 3D survey on this area. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43198, 199, or 200. We did receive one bid on track 43201, advertised as 1,854 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 195 acres, 195 acres. The bidder is B&L Exploration, LLC. B&L Exploration, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $24,375. $24,375. Or a per acre value of $125. Annual rentals are $12,187.50. $12,187.50. Royalties are 21.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43202 or 43203. We did receive one bid on track 43204, advertised as 1,789 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 30.98 acres. 30.98 acres. The bidder is Gold King Resources, LLC. Gold King Resources, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $7,745. $7,745. Or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $3,872.50. $3,872.50. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43205. We did receive one bid on track 43206, advertised as 751 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 171 acres. 171 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $120,555. $120,555. Or a per acre value of $705. Annual rentals are $60,277.50. $60,277.50. Royalties are 23%. We received one bid on track 43207, advertises 2,427 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 126 acres. 126 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $88,830. $88,830. Or a per acre value of $705. Annual rentals are $44,415. $44,415. Royalties are 23%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43208 all the way through 43216. We did receive one bid on track 43217, advertised as 868 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 103 acres. 103 acres, but the bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $33,475. $33,475, or a per acre value of $325. Annual rentals are $16,737.50. $16,737.50. Royalties are 23%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43218 or 219. We did receive one bid on track 43220, advertised as 10.02 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is David D. Kirby. David D. Kirby. The bid is for a two-year primary term with a cash payment of $20,040. $20,040, or a per-acre value of $2,000. Annual rentals are $10,020. $10,020. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 43221, advertised as 30 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP, a Texas limited partnership. Hillcore Energy One LP, a Texas limited partnership. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $15,135. $15,135, or a per-acre value of $504.50. Annual rentals are $7,567.50. $7,567.50. Royalties are 25.25%. We received one bid on track 43222, advertised as 21.863 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Oryx Exploration, Inc. Oryx Exploration, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $7,105.48. $7,105.48, or a per-acre value of $325. Annual rentals are $3,552.74. $3,552.74. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 43223, advertised as 103 acres.
That's because it's only a 50% interest.
I believe on my worksheet here I have it advertised as 103, and if memory serves me right, it's 50% interest to the state being 51.5%, and on the bid it has the entire track. We will check that, but I do believe that's the way it was advertised. It's 51.5 net of 103 gross. So track 43223 is being bid as the entire track of 51.5 acres, and the bidder is Land Resources, Inc. The bidder is Land Resources, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $10,300. $10,300, or a per acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $5,150. $5,150. Royalties are 21.5%. We received one bid on track 43224, advertised as 0.5 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Delta Lands Exploration, Inc. Delta Lands Exploration, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,000. $1,000, or a per acre value of $2,000. Annual rentals are $500. $500. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 43225, advertised as 3 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Strata Acquisitions, LLC. Strata Acquisitions, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,665. $1,665, or a per acre value of $555. Annual rentals are $832.50. $832.50. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 43226, advertised as 79.93 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Petra Energy Services, LLC. Petra Energy Services, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $24,138.86. $24,138.86, or a per acre value of $302. Annual rentals are $12,070. $12,070. Royalties are 25%. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
Before we get started this morning, I'd just like to say on behalf of the staff and the board, we are delighted to have Rick Heck, our Petroleum Lands Director, back with us today.
I'd like to go ahead and call roll for a lease review committee. Mr. Lambert? Mr. Padaro? Mrs. Schuss?
Here.
Mr. Morton and Mr. Sanders and myself, we do have a quorum. Good morning, gentlemen. Jason, go ahead and read it.
Good morning, members of the board. I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. There are 1,862 active leases covering nearly 800,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 144 leases covering approximately 91,000 acres. And of the 144, there are 4 leases covering four oil and gas fields to discuss in more detail today. Before we begin our discussion on these leases, we do have a slight change to the agenda. Item 5 on this agenda has been changed. Harvest Oil and Gas, LLC, C was scheduled to make an appearance today to make a presentation on their leases at Vermilion Block 16. However, Harvest made a presentation to the staff yesterday, and the staff determined that the need for more time to review the information. Consequently, the staff requested that Harvest defer their appearance today to the June 12, 2013 State Mineral Board Energy meeting, which they agreed to do. Also, the staff is recommending that the April 10, 2013 adopted recommendation on State Lease 17156 at Vermilion Block 16 that required Harvest to release 405 acres by May 9, 2013 be extended until June 13, 2013.
So we need action on that last request?
Sir?
Need action on that last request? A motion?
Yeah, at the end of the agenda, approval by the board.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Explanation why are they late getting over here to see you yesterday?
Well, I think it was just a matter of discussions with the DNR, and somehow that meeting fell right before the board meeting.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Sanders, they weren't late for anything. They had scheduled that meeting. They had up until May 9th to release the 405 acres on 17156 because they did not meet the drilling deadline. So they scheduled a meeting to discuss it prior to today's meeting, and the meeting fell on yesterday. They met with us, as Jason said, they presented a lot of information. We asked them to defer their appearance until the June meeting, which they agreed to do, and so give us time to go over what they presented to us yesterday.
I don't want to malign them. Is this an entity that we had requested that they appear before this board today?
No, their appearance was voluntarily.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. They actually requested the appearance themselves.
Okay, starting with State Lease 195C, Quarantine Bay, operated by Cox Operating, LLC. The committee last reviewed this lease on October 10, 2012. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Cox Operating report and to grant Cox until April 10, 2013 to report on their continued development of the lease. By letter dated April 10, 2013, Cox reported that they continue to monitor the results of the three new wells drilled and the six workovers performed over the past 24 months. Production from the three wells have averaged 1,884 barrels per day, and new workover production has averaged 180 barrels per day. Cox has identified an exploratory well on the lease and anticipates drilling this year, continue upon rig availability in the hurricane season. Cox continues to work over wells and anticipates work to be completed on four wells within the next 6 weeks. Lastly, Cox reported that two-thirds of their wellbore identified under their inactive wellbore analysis have undergone phase one, which is wellhead servicing. The staff recommends accepting Cox's report and granting Cox until April 9, 2014 to report on the drilling of the exploratory well and their continued development on the lease. Moving on to State Lease 724, Four Isle Dome, Hillcorp Energy is our lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on November 14, 2012. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Hillcorp Energy's company report and to grant Hillcorp until April 10, 2013 to submit a definite plan of development for the non-productive acreage, including the drilling of a new well on or affecting the non-productive acreage. By letter dated April 10, 2013, Hillcorp reported on their plans to develop a portion of the lease more specifically referred to as Unit 16 within State Lease 724. Hillcorp also reported they competitively bid on the acreage within the same Unit 16 at the April 10, 2013 board meeting lease sale, but were not successful in acquiring the entirety of their bid. On April 22, 2013, the staff was notified of Hillcorp's intention to form a commissioner's unit over the same Unit 16, which would include not only 724, but the new state leases. Consequently, Hillcorp has requested that the next reporting be in 6 months, allowing time for the unitization process and the drilling of the unit. Staff recommends accepting Hillcorp's report and to grant Hillcorp until November 13, 2013 to report on the drilling of the new prospect. Our next lease is State Lease 173, Cattle Pine Island. The committee last reviewed Rockwell Petroleum's activities on this lease January 9, 2013. The board adopted the committee's recommendation that by April 10, 2013, Rockwell Petroleum report on their efforts to drill the State Lease 173, number 3, and other activities affecting the lease. The committee also last reviewed Gemini Exploration's activity on this lease October 10, 2012. The board adopted the committee's recommendation that Gemini be granted until April 10, 2013 to report on any new P&A activity and their continued efforts to develop the lease. By letter dated April 1, 2013, Alpha Petrovision, formerly Rockwell Petroleum, reported a paraffin treatment program was put in place February 2013 in hopes to dissolve the paraffin. Preliminary results have now resulted in increased production, and they are seeking a new plan to manage the paraffin. APV are also reported that on March 13, 2013, they submit a new well permit application to the Office of Conservation to drill the State Lease 173 number 3 well. By letter dated April 1, 2013, Gemini reported that they have completed all of their dock facility improvements along with major repairs to their workover barge. It was also reported that they are in the process of identifying 4 wells on State Lease 173 to P&A before the end of 2013. Staff recommends by December 11, 2013 that both Alpha Petrovision and Gemini report on their continued efforts to develop the lease. Individually, Gemini should include in their report 4 P&A reports, and Alpha Petrovision should report on the drilling of the 173 number 3 well. And next on the agenda is an appearance by Hillcorp Energy as related to State Lease 1170, Hog Bayou Field.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Robert Caves. I'm an attorney in Lafayette, and I do a considerable amount of work for Hillcorp on these state leases. Hillcorp asked me to look at a series of letters that they've gotten from Mr. Talbot's office regarding development specifically of State Lease 1170 in the Hog Bayou field. And going beyond that, we looked at other letters and other materials, and they asked for my advice as to what their responsibilities were, what their obligations were on these particular matters. I would mention at this point, and Jason and I had a conversation earlier, there are leases obviously involved in owned by Hillcorp, which are subject to the Global Settlement Agreement. Those are not at issue today. It's an entirely different matter. The specific matters that have been mentioned in the letters from Mr. Talbot regard development obligations, plug and abandon obligations, and information requests from the staff, which are really tell us your underlying business plan and what you plan on doing here. The lease involved is on a 1942 form. It does not contain any of the deferred development provisions that you find in the modern leases, the form 2000. Nor are there any express development obligations beyond the primary term. There are very strict development obligations during the primary term, in fact, with a 60-day gap throughout that process. Once you got to the primary term, at the end of the primary term, you're supposed to identify the developed areas, those that you think you can develop, and thereafter you're subject to reasonable development. We believe that the tone of the letters we've been getting and the nature of the request have gone beyond the idea of reasonable development. It appears that the state is of the opinion that there is some sort of a specific schedule specified somewhere, and unfortunately, no, it does not exist in any of these leases. The state, as a lessor, is subject to the same rules as LL&E or Joe Smith leasing his property. There are rules that regard the development. The mineral code says that you can contractually set out how you're going to do that. But in this case, what was done in State Lease 1170 is that you have a tract in the East Cameron area, and you have an obligation that says that during the primary term, you're supposed to go out and diligently drill and explore and do whatever is necessary to identify formations which can be developed. At the end of the primary term, you are to identify the areas deemed in the lessee's judgment to be developed, make known to the state the existence of domes or structures which are favorable for accumulation of minerals, declare what areas of the lease are capable of development, and then develop the areas they believe capable and release those they did not. The lease history shows that in 1949, Kerr McGee, the original lessee, did exactly that. They partially released acreage from the lease that they didn't deem subject to development. Beyond the primary term, and once you have production in paying quantities, the obligation is simply stated to be reasonable development. This lease is not the same, for example, as State Lease 20116, which covers portions of the same area. Under that lease, you have a specific contractual method of how you measure the development and how you defer it, either by delay rentals or by activity. We look back through a number of the state leases that Hillcorp has, and we found basically they fall into three categories. The early days, State Lease 451, for example, it had very similar language to what's in 1170, and that continued pretty much until 1948. In 1948, the form was changed and eliminated all of this express obligations during the primary term. It just looks like a standard bath form lease at that point. Of course, now we have one that has a very strong contractual provisions in it. The law on this subject is originally found in jurisprudence, and it's now contained in the mineral code that became effective January 1st, 1975. Article 122 of the mineral code basically says that the lessee is not a fiduciary, but is bound to perform the contract in good faith and to develop and operate the property leased as a reasonably prudent operator for the mutual benefit of himself and his lessor. And that means very simply is that Hillcorp is not required to sacrifice its interest in order to drill wells that might provide royalty to the state, but which would not be profitable to them. And the parties may stipulate what shall constitute reasonably prudent conduct. That doesn't exist in this particular lease. Shortly after the mineral code was adopted, a decision came from the Third Circuit, Lejeune versus Superior Oil Company. It was actually decided in 1975. It's in the Southeast Gate on field that I've done a lot of work in. The lessor in that instance, there was unitized production that Superior had, and the lessor made a demand for them to drill to test the Camarina sand, which was not at that point productive in any well in the field, but was in adjacent fields. And we had a really interesting case in which two of the real old pros that usually sit at that table in conservation hearings debated whether or not this was something that was reasonable to develop or to drill to. Bill Schutz and Leon Como fought that out. And what the court decided was that Superior was not obligated to drill to attempt to find the Camarina sand, even though it's being produced in nearby fields. They said it was not a known mineral-producing formation in the field and essentially established that the obligation is to drill to known mineral-producing formations, and that there was no obligation under a standard lease, which looks very much like the State Lease 1170, there was no obligation to drill exploratory wells if the lease was being maintained by production and paying quantities. The issue of identifying the extent of a productive area is, we believe, highly subjective and involves an awful lot of internal analysis by the operator as to what they believe makes sense to go out and drill. Hillcorp, I think it's fairly obvious from the history they have with state leases, is they don't buy them just to let them sit there. They spend a lot of money reworking wells, trying to increase the income from the leases, and they drill where they believe it is appropriate, where they think that it would be to the mutual benefit of themselves and the state. With regard to P&A obligations, there was a question in one, in, I believe, in Mr. Talbot's letter as to a specific schedule for plugging wells, which are simply on the lease. The schedule for plugging wells is contained in the statewide orders of the Office of Conservation, which has jurisdiction in this area. The Louisiana Supreme Court, in the infamous case of Corbello versus Iowa Production, said that the obligation to P&A and to do remediation does not arise until the termination of the lease. There are exceptions where you have some egregious situation, such as a spill, or you have somebody that's obviously abusing the land. But in the ordinary situation that you have a well there, if Hillcorp has designated it as having future utility, they do not have an obligation under the statewide order to plug the well at that time. As soon as they declare that it has no future utility, then they have the obligation within 180 days to plug it. Information is kind of amorphous in the sense that these are, what Hillcorp may believe internally makes sense from an economic standpoint is a business matter. It's a confidential business matter. We have no objection to providing information to the state. We want to keep the state informed as to what's going on. I think you heard that with regard to the other lease. It's just that there is no contractual obligation and there is no statutory or legal obligation for them to do anything other than to give you reasonable answers. Hillcorp didn't send me here to get adversarial with this board. We have no intention of doing that. If state leases were a frequent flyer club, they're in the platinum level, and they intend to stay there. They're very proud to be the owner of a great number of state leases, and they intend to continue to pursue exploration and to perform their obligations as a prudent operator in good faith. As a lessor, the state also has an obligation to deliver the premises lease, to refrain from disturbing the lessee's possession, and to perform the contract in good faith. What we're asking is that there be sort of a ratcheting down of this constant notifications. Because they have so many state leases, they get an awful lot of notices about state leases. And then it becomes a situation where, well, did you respond timely? You know, I heard a question earlier about whether or not somebody had responded. We got a letter from Mr. Vaughn saying, well, we didn't heard anything from you on a particular letter. And Hillcorp sent me over copies of the letters they'd sent back, which I guess got lost. I don't know. But they have, in fact, been responding. And we would just ask that the state keep their obligations in mind and understand what the limits are for the lessee's operations. We have Mr. Richard, Troy Richard, division land man for Hillcorp here, and Curtis Smith, the land manager, and Glenn Taylor, who's an asset manager, and they're now prepared to come and give you a response to Mr. Vaughn's request.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Ms. Kane. Thank you.
I would like to say one thing, if I may.
Yes, sir.
The reference that they had responded to our request, we did receive a response from Hillcorp on June 8, 2010, which that response was to a letter that we had sent, I think, in March of 2010. And once we received Hillcorp's response on June 8, 2010, we wrote a letter to them dated June 29th. 2010, asking them to give us a report by June 1st, 2011 on the drilling program and plans for the unplugged wells. That is the letter that we did not receive a response to, and that is why we're here today.
So we're still looking for
a response.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay,
good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
My name is Curtis Smith. I'm VP of Land at Hillcorp. I've been at Hillcorp for 11 years, and however, this is my first appearance before the board, so forgive me if I don't know the protocol. We are prepared to respond to the request for development plans, what we've done in the past, and so forth. And we've received several, as Bob indicated, we've received several of these letters from Mr. Jason Talbot and Mr. Victor Vaughn. And whenever I read the letters and I review the oil and gas leases and confer with our legal counsel, the letters don't seem to follow exactly what our requirements are under the oil and gas leases, because they ask for a date-specific commitment to drill wells or basically deliver a release of the non-producing portion of the lease on that date that they request. Now, some of the lease forms, as Mr. Caves indicated, sure, we have that requirement, but other lease forms, the older lease forms, I just don't see the requirement in the lease itself nor in the mineral code. And that's where I have to depend on Mr. Caves as our legal counsel. And since we do own so many oil and gas leases, state leases in Louisiana, we do receive a lot of these letters, and they're taking up more and more of our time. So that's really why I asked Mr. Caves to look into this for us and see exactly what our requirements are, because it is Hillcorp's intent to live up to our requirements under the oil and gas leases or any other contract we enter into and under the mineral code. So I just want to make that very clear. What we would like to do, and I don't know if it would maybe take a meeting outside of this, the board, but I would like for us to look into the requirements that we have to live under our vintage of oil and gas leases and the mineral code.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question at this point?
Sure, Ms. Lambert, go ahead.
So, what is your name again?
My name is Curtis Smith.
Okay. Are you questioning the procedure that the staff has had for, I assume, for a long period of time? Is that what you're basically doing?
Well, I guess you could categorize it that way. My concern is that we're being asked to do things that are outside of the requirements of the oil and gas lease and the mineral code.
For this one particular lease, correct?
For this lease, and there are some other requests that we've received.
Leases.
Yeah, and like I say, we don't have a problem at all with sitting down with the staff and showing what our plans are, what we've done, and that's what we're going to do today. But that's the reason I'd ask Mr. Caves to come up and talk about the review that he's done in this case for the state lease 1170.
Could I ask you this? Why didn't,
yes,
I'm new on the board, so I'm learning. Why did you not respond to the last letter that he referred to?
I think that probably just got kind of lost in the shuffle. We've got so many things going on, and we do get several of these requests. We typically timely respond to these letters. In this case, we didn't.
Let me ask you this. How important in your line of work is the State Mineral Board?
It's very important.
Well, then maybe I'm just listening to this and you're questioning the procedures of the board, and you want to kind of suit your portfolio, the way you operate. Am I wrong? I mean,
no. What I'm asking for is just that we all, Hillcorp and all parties to the contract, just live under the terms of the contract. And if there's something that we're not doing that's required under the contract, then we need to change what we're doing. But
all contracts, there's two parties to a contract, and that's why we have contracts. I'm just asking Mr. Hall.
So this is a communications issue to some extent between your company and the staff of this board?
It may be. It may be that instead of just receiving letters telling us on a date certain we've got to commit to drill wells, because, you know, for example, some fields it wouldn't be economic to drill additional wells. It would just be over-drilling the field.
But is that a decision you make, or is that a decision after reviewing that comes from the board?
That should be a decision made by Hillcorp.
Okay. Go ahead.
Because we run the economics. We determine what's the best drainage pattern and how many wells it takes to drain a field. And, you know, you can over-drill a field, and it's not good for the lessor nor the lessee. And of course, that's why we have regulatory bodies and proration units or commissioners units, and
yeah,
that
Mr.
sort of thing.
Mr. Chairman, under the rules of the mineral board, is this gentleman entitled, or is he in violation of some ex parte rule or regulation to have their corresponding, obviously by mail? Have you had a meeting with him, or can you do that? Can he do that? I mean, why hasn't this been resolved, if it can be, before now? Y'all are communicating.
In most cases, sir, it is. In this state, lease 1170, because we were delinquent in answering one of the letters, that's why we're before the board. We were requested to come here.
Because you disagree with the procedures that the staff is following right now?
We don't disagree with the procedure. I do disagree with some of the demands that are made to us, and that is to drill wells in drill additional wells or drill exploratory wells on leases or on date certain release the non-producing portion of the lease. I do disagree with that. And Mr. Caves explained some of the legal background as to why we're not required to release the non-producing portions of leases under the terms of the oil and gas lease and the mineral code. If the lease has been developed and we have a producing field on the lease.
Okay. Mr. Vaughn, is this the policies that you all are following? Is that something that you've been following for a number of years?
Yes, sir, Mr. Lambert. We try to review every lease at least once a year. And this lease, 1170, was on a yearly review schedule. And when Hillcorp took over 1170 in 2003, and then we started our corresponding with them in 2004, it wasn't up until that June letter where we had a problem in getting a response. We had a good relationship. They would give us a drill their report. They would even supply us the producing limits on the field.
Is this a procedure you've been following for a long time?
Yes, sir.
So he's basically disagreeing with a policy of the board that's been in existence for a long time.
Just about, we have a, you know, as Mr. Curtis Smith reported, they operate a lot of leases in South Louisiana, a lot of state leases. And I would say that we have no problem with Hillcorp on any other leases. We get the information that we request. There's no problem. There is a problem with an isolated few of the leases.
I'm not interested in whether you have a problem with them. I'm interested in what the procedure is that you follow.
Well, like I said, 1170, it was on a yearly review. We'd ask for a response in a year for our letter.
And they did not do that.
And they
did
tell us.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Mrs. Sanders?
Thank you. Good morning. My name's Tom Sanders.
Hello, sir.
This is my fifth year, I believe, as a member of the Mineral Board. It's the first time I've encountered a leaseholder complaining about our staff and the policies that they use. I would like to state personally, and I know this from general experience on this board, we're very cognizant of the importance of leaseholders in this state, their economic activity, and the benefit to this state. This board must rely on staff, and we have a great deal, or I personally have, I'll speak for myself, a great deal of confidence in Mr. Vaughn and the members of his staff. I personally enjoyed, as a 50-year lawyer, Mr. Cave's review of the jurisprudence in his argument about the contract. If I'd had an opportunity, and I can get that later, I'm certain that he's aware of Revised Statutes 30:129, which sets forth the authority of this board. And I am similar in thought to Mr. Lambert over here. We want to get along with you folks. We lack the money. I'm talking about the state of Louisiana, and I'm appointed to this position, and you know it's well paid at $75 a day minus tax. So I'm here to give you service and hear your complaints. But by the same token, it kind of chaws me a little bit. This particular statute I'm referring to that staff handed me this morning, and I'm chairman of the Lease Review Committee, the Legal Entitlement Committee, and have been ever since I came on this board. And we encounter some difficult situations that we work our way through. But this statute, a portion of it is underlined for me. It says the board shall take all appropriate action, including the recovery of non-producing leased acreage whenever possible, to assure that undeveloped or non-producing state lands and water bottoms are reasonably and prudently explored, developed, and produced for the public good. That has a lot of other provisions in there. I do not have the benefit of when this statute was originally adopted. I don't know whether it predates this old lease that we're dealing with here. But we want to work with you, and we want to try to get along with you. But if we have a legal problem, there's an address that solves legal problems.
Well,
it exists down here in the courthouse in East Baton Rouge Parish.
Yes, sir.
Or over in the venue where this is. I'm not lecturing you. I'm just giving you my personal thoughts. Because to come in here and I'm being very respectful to you and to Mr. Cave, the rest of your personnel, it's a disturbing thing. And if we have a problem, we'll deal with the problem here if it's within the parameters of the law. But we have to follow policy. The legislature tells us our obligations. I'm aware of your obligations and your rights, et cetera, under a particular contract. So I believe Maul Daggett used to refer to that as a bilateral syntagmatic contract that is binding on both parties and to which both parties are obligated to work their differences out and respond and fulfill their contractual obligation. Again, I'm not lecturing you. I'm here in good spirit. So don't take offense to my questions and my observations this morning. I very much respect your lawyer. I've known him a long time, not socially or personally, but just know who he is in the community and know his reputation as a mineral lawyer. So I'm listening. I listen carefully to his remarks. That's just one board member's position. So we would hope that the size of Hillcorp's operations in this state, we would hope and trust that this can be resolved in an appropriate, professional, legal manner. So I want you to know that's how I approach this. That's how I see it. Thank you very much for allowing me, and I'll be happy to try to respond to any question you might have of me as an individual board member.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. Let me just make one observation as well. We understand Hillcorp and truly appreciate what they do for the state. Y'all have over 300 active leases with us right now, probably in the top three or two in the state. Having this one issue, although it's obviously a large issue right now, I believe it would be prudent if we asked maybe yourself and the staff to get together between now and the July meeting to work things out and come back to us. Would that be...
And I'm open to Mr. Caves has educated me, with his legal opinion and so forth, and I'm open to being further educated by the state. And if it is our intent to live up to all of our obligations under the oil and gas leases and under the mineral code, and I just, Mr. Caves made that statement in his remarks, and we don't want to be adversarial. We've been called to this meeting to address State Lease 1170, And State Lease 1170 has a lot of the things that we've seen in these letters recently. And I would, as I stated earlier, I would prefer for us to have a meeting off to the side to address this issue, so we can understand what our rights and obligations are, and so both parties can address all these letters we've been receiving from the state and know exactly how we're supposed to respond to them, because right now we're a little concerned about it. So I'd like to do that.
Mr. Chairman, could I?
Yes, Mr. Lambert.
I just wanted to say this, I apologize, but are you president of the company?
I'm vice president of land.
And where do you live?
I live in Houston.
So you're not real familiar with Louisiana law? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not an attorney.
Okay, but you're in the oil and gas business.
Yes, sir.
A long time, right?
That's why we hired Mr. Case.
No, I understand that. And he did a good job, I thought. But the thing I think that maybe where I got off on the wrong shoe with you is you were lecturing us, whether you realize it or not.
I apologize for
that. That's all right. No, you don't have to. But that's what you were doing, and maybe that's how it works in Texas. I don't know. What is the Railroad Commission there? Is that the one that
we have Railroad Commission
handles your business? But, I mean, I've been in government a pretty good too long, really. But I've always tried to listen to a staff that has certain rules and regulations that they must follow. A lot of it's mandated by the legislature. Some of it is mandated by the Constitution. And that's what they're doing. And, you know, I welcome an opportunity for you to sit down with the permission of the board. I think that's what you just gave him. And talk about this, but I want to make it real clear from just me talking. We're not going to make any special exceptions for you that we have not made for other companies.
I agree.
Don't ask for that, because that puts you in an awkward position.
Yeah, I'm not asking for that.
Okay. Well, you really were, because you were recommending a policy change. That's basically what you were doing. And what I want to say to staff, I think they should do their job, and you know, I don't think that Mr. Arnold was suggesting you sit down and work something out here that compromises your principles. And I'm sure you didn't take it that way, but please don't do that. I mean, we have all these other companies out there, by the thousands of them, and this is one. So we have to have to set precedents, and we have to follow rules and regulations. And I think that's what you were doing. And maybe it's a good education for you, Mr. Smith, because you're bringing up things that I don't know. I hadn't been here this long, but I was chairman of the Public Service Commission for 18. Well, I was on it for 18 years and chairman for 6, so I'm pretty familiar with rules and regulations and staff. Mm-hmm. And that's why I immediately wanted to come to the defense of this staff, who's been here. They've been here a long, long time, and they know this law. Louisiana's got a separate mineral law, as you know. They're not the same as Texas.
I know.
But anyway, I thank you very much for your comments. My intent was not to offend you. I hope I didn't.
No, you haven't.
Just lay it in on the table and let you know just how I feel.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come here and have this discussion, and because I didn't want to come here and lecture, and I apologize that it came across that way.
Well, you said in the early stages that you didn't know the protocol, and you were right, you didn't.
I don't, and I apologize for that.
That's all right.
It is my first appearance here before this board.
Thank you very much.
And I just want to say, I think I did say on a few occasions that we do not want to do anything that's outside of the confines of the contracts or the mineral code or the regulations. I just want to make that clear.
And I don't think that the staff would want you to do that either, or the board.
We're not asking for that. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Taylor and Mr. Richard. They're going to talk about what we have done on State Lease 1170, and that was the original request for us to meet here.
Good morning, members of the board.
Good morning.
My name is Glenn Taylor. I'm the asset team leader for West Louisiana Asset Team. I've been with Hillcorp for 7 years. State Lease 1170, Hog Bayou Field, is part of my asset team. So I've got a collection of reservoir engineers, geologists, production engineers, and field personnel that report up to me. And I think we have handed out a presentation. I'd like to step through that in response to the June 8, 2010 letter that we received. I'm sorry, the June 29, 2010 letter that we received from the state. So on the second page, what our intent is to give an update on the drilling program to the board, as well as plan of development for the non-producing acreage and a plan and respond to the plan and scheduling of P&As. On the third slide, what you see is the current confines of State Lease 1170. This is after the release by Kerr McGee in 1949. So in terms of updating to the drilling plans, we feel that, as you see in the state lease and the position of all the wells, and then subsequent to the release that Kerr McGee made in 1949, that this lease has been effectively developed in its entirety as it stands today. On the following page, in response to our plan for the non-producing acreage, it is our opinion that all of the acreage within the confines of State Lease 1170 are producing. What we show here is a plot of the revenue that has been received by the state. We have plotted years prior to Hillcorp, from 1998 up to 2003. Hillcorp took over the state lease beginning in 2003. Since then, we have generated revenue back to the state in excess of $35 million, averaging about $3.8 million a year. And obviously, that is for the mutual benefit of both the state of Louisiana as well as Hillcorp Energy. On the next page, another thing we like to look at is in terms of production, what has occurred prior to Hillcorp taking the lease. So again, years 1998 up to 2003, and then Hillcorp taking over in 2003. What you see is gas in red and oil in blue, and again, you see the efforts of Hillcorp has significantly increased production through those years. You'll also note, as I have, that in 2012, the trend on the plot is going down. So in response to that, we recompleted the Hog Bayou number A19 well and the number A24 well in December of 2012, and I'm happy to report that our production rate has reversed that trend and we are heading back up again. The next page is over the life of the field since 2003 with Hillcorp. It details the almost $81 million that Hillcorp has reinvested back into the field. Now, I will tell you that is an all-inclusive number. It includes capital investments, which we define as recompletes, drill wells, things of that nature, as well as expense capital. Expense would be repairing things, installing compression, things of that nature, and then also our operating expense for this specific field. And then finally, in response to our plan for P&A, the last page details the status of the 14 wells that we have on State Lease 1170, nine of which are currently active. The balance is currently shut in future utility. One of the things that Hillcorp takes pride in is we continue to work these fields. All across the fields, both in my asset area and across South Louisiana, we continue to focus our technical staff on how to create value, both for us as well as the folks that own the leases, including the state of Louisiana. We do have several recompletes left out here in this field. We do have three seismic that we have purchased out here and have a subsurface team, a geologist, geophysicist, as well as a reservoir engineer continually working this area to look and see, is there additional reserves that we can access? Is there sidetracks that are needed? Is there drill wells that are needed? Can't make a commitment at this point in time, but that is obviously something that we will continue to work toward. And then I appreciate Mr. Sanders' comment. The comment about we have to trust our staff, and that is no different than the position that I'm placed in. I thoroughly trust my staff. They are in the positions they are in because they have earned those positions. And one of the things I need to protect their time and where they spend their time. As we get letters in regard to plans of developments, things of that nature, What I want to do is I want to get the input of the folks that are working those assets, the folks that are the reservoir engineer, the geologists that are working the field, so that I can give a thorough response to the state in terms of what is our development plan. The problem with that is if that is beyond what I'm contractually obligated to do, I feel a need to respond to the state, but in doing that, it's going to take the time of the staff so that they can't spend the time on looking for additional opportunity and value to create, both in this state lease as well as other state leases. This is not the only state lease that my asset team stewards for both my company as well as the state of Louisiana. So really, that's the intent. And I do apologize again. We're not trying to be offensive. That's not why we're here. We do apologize for not responding to the letter. I feel that this presentation hopefully has satisfied what we have done with the state lease 1170 over time. And I do look forward to visiting more with the staff on how we can get to resolution for the variety of the other state leases that we have. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. I do appreciate, once again, Hillcourt coming here and presenting everything to us. I'm just going to ask that y'all get together with the staff to resolve any outstanding issues you'll have and come back and meet with us for the July meeting. Is that okay with staff?
Yes, sir. You want us to defer any action on 1170 until June, until the July meeting?
Please.
And between that time to meet with Hillcourt?
Please.
To go over there?
Yes. Do you need a motion for that, or?
That'll be our recommendation, I guess. Or they're willing to meet with us, I guess.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I move that we extend this matter until July meeting, please.
Move, Mr. Sanders. Second by Mr. Cordero. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Charles, is
it? Mr. Vaughn, is anything else you need us to move on?
Accepting his report.
Enforcement Sure. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Arnold, members of the board. Today, I'd like to bring one new matter to your attention. Energy Partners, or EPL of Louisiana LLC, requests recognition of force majeure due to a problem with rig availability. We're requesting that this be recognized for up to 3 months or until the August 14th, 2013 meeting for State Lease 2345. The problem with this was the rig has been tied up on another well, and it got into a fishing operation, and usually those, you either get really lucky or really unlucky with them. And it also has the other little problem where even if they got the rig, like, before the anniversary date of the lease, they're drilling off lease to the lease. So they would need the time to a reasonable period of time to drill a directional well onto the lease, you know, in accordance with our lease forms, so they could maintain it. So we're requesting 3 months, which is usually what we request in these cases. The other matter is I wanted to bring to your attention that we published the May 1st. Force majeure memorandum that we send out to all our lessees and payors in the state, just to remind them of if they have a force majeure problem since we're entering into hurricane season, just so how they can proceed and everything. It's more of an informational. We included a copy of this in your packet. I put a few copies at the back door there. We'll have some at the front desk like we usually have every year. Other than that, I don't have any other business to bring to your attention. Open for any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee?
Thank you very much.
Hey, you've heard the staff's report and recommendations. Have a motion to approve. Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Cordero. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Okay. Anyone opposed? Yeah, none is approved. Thank you. There be no further items on the agenda. We are adjourned.
I guess that's a good one coming to you.
I'd like to call the nomination track evaluation committee to order. This time we'll have a roll call. Mrs. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Briette, Mr. Schutz,
here.
Mr. Lambert,
here.
Mr. Miller, Mr. Morton, Mr. Sanders, Mr. Smith,
present.
Mr. Klein. We have a quorum. I also appoint Emil Fontenot to be my designee to present the agenda items. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
We had a late arrival of letters of protest yesterday, so we needed to put that on an agenda, and I'm requesting that we needed to put that on an addendum, and we need to request that that addendum be accepted to the agenda.
I make that motion.
Motion by Mr. Arnold.
Second, Sanders.
Second, Mr. Sanders. Any public comment on this item? Comment from the committee? All in favor? All opposed? Motion passes. Go ahead.
Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 35 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parish where the properties are located for today's lease sale. Those letters that are attached to the addendum, those letters of protest are from Salt Dome Partnership dated May the 1st, 2013, pertaining to tract numbers 43195, 43196, 43198, 43199 and 43200, situated in St. Martin Parish, Louisiana. There's also a letter of protest from Weeks Family, LLC, dated May 1st, 2013, pertaining to tract number 43197, also situated in St. Martin Parish, Louisiana. And the final letter of protest, or letters of protest, were from Williams, Inc. and Williams Land Company, Inc., dated May the 1st, 2013, pertaining to track number 43200, St. Martin Parish, Louisiana. The staff reviewed the most recent state land water bottoms layer and recognized that the aforementioned tracks contain both claimable water bottoms and private lands within. Therefore, tracks 43195, 43196, 43197, 43198, 43199 and 43200 were advertised correctly and are to be left up for today's lease sale. 83 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the July 10, 2013 lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the July 10, 2013 mineral lease sale.
Motion to approve. Motion, Mr. Arnold. Second, Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? Comment from the committee? All in favor? All opposed? Motion passes. Any motion and second to adjourn the committee? Motion by Mr. Arnold. Second by Schutz. All in favor? Any opposed? Committee's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fontenot.
Thank you, sir.
Let's take our roll for our audit committee. Mr. Lambert? Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mrs. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Morton? Mr. Klein? And myself. We do have a quorum. Good morning, Ms. Newman. I'd like to appoint you as our designee.
Thank you. Good morning. Item number one on the audit agenda is a penalty waiver request from Apache Corporation for a penalty in the amount of $35,363.89 billed for the late payment of royalty. On May 25, 2012, Apache paid the state a total of $288,829.04 in late royalty for January 2008 through March 2012. This payment was not related to a field audit. Royalty was outstanding for less than 6 years. Apache's payment was late because of severance tax adjustments in the Chappelli Bay field and lease use payments in Vermilion Bay 14 field. There was also a division of interest issue in South Pass Block 24 field, which caused sales volume information to be delayed. Apache paid $8,684.73 in interest on August 1, 2012. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, staff is recommending a 50% waiver. The amount of the reduction would be $17,681.94, with a balance of $17,681.95 owed the state. We do have representatives from Apache here this morning that would like to address the board.
Good morning, gentlemen. Please state your name.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm Ken Moore with Apache Corporation. I'm the manager of our compliance accounting group.
I'm Johnny Berry, the state royalty coordinator in the compliance group.
Thank you.
I really don't have anything to add on the first item, except that the main issue is that a breakdown of those is that only about $9,000 went back to 2008. $44,000 went back to October of 2011. And the bulk of it, $194,000, was the division or issue that went back to December 2010. On the main pass issue, item number two, is
let's stick with one item at a time. Can you stick with one item? Let's get past number one first.
Okay.
Because they haven't presented.
Sorry.
So, are you requesting anything different for agenda item one? Or
no.
No. Okay. So we have the staff recommendation of 50% waiver penalty. Any comments or questions from the committee? Or from any more comments or questions from the public? Is there a motion to approve? Moved by Mr. Klein. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Cordero. Anyone opposed? The motion is approved for a 50% penalty waiver. Thank you. Item two.
Item number two is a penalty waiver request from Apache Corporation for a penalty in the amount of $99,794.07 for the late payment of royalty. On November 25, 2012, Apache paid the state a total of $278,945.59 in royalties for January 2003 through September 2012. This payment, again, was not related to a field audit. Royalty was outstanding more than 6 years. Through an internal audit, Apache discovered the money had been paid to the Minerals Management Services instead of the state of Louisiana. They inadvertently paid it to the feds. Payment was remitted to correct this error. Apache Corporation paid $109,638.34 in interest on February 14, 2013. In accordance with waiver protocol, staff is recommending no penalty be waived because the royalty was outstanding in excess of 6 years. The amount owed the state would remain $99,794.07. It is the policy of the Office of Mineral Resources to treat all items submitted on a single state royalty report as a whole. In determining the outstanding royalty period for late payments, the earliest disposition date on the report is used as the measure. Penalty waiver protocol allows a 75% reduction for royalty outstanding three years or less, a 50% reduction for royalty outstanding 3 to 6 years, and no reduction for anything outstanding in excess of 6 years. Apache's state royalty report was submitted on November 25, 2012. The total on that report outstanding more than 6 years was $104,564.25, roughly one-third. This includes royalty due between the months of February 2003 and November 2006.
How you doing, sir?
On that one, we'd just like to say that that one was, Ms. Newman correctly stated, the result of an internal audit by Apache's audit staff. The audit initially began on the main pass platform in 2004. An audit report was issued in 2005. Tolling agreements were signed to keep the audit open. It was re-audited in 2008 and 2009. 2009 is when they found the issue with the under allocation of the volume from the state lease, which was commingled with the federal lease at that main pass 77 platform operated by Chevron. Apache relied on the allocation statement submitted to them by Chevron. When that audit exception was found, we made a request to settle the audit with Chevron. It took us a while to do that. A settlement was reached in the fall of 2012, and so that's when we issued the allocation adjustment.
So the state was notified in 2009 or 2012?
The state was not notified of the audit. Whenever the audit was settled in 2012 is when we made the additional royalty payment.
But y'all found the original.
Excuse me?
The original mistake was found in 2009, correct?
The mistake was found in 2009.
Right. It took 3 years to verify it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir.
What I was just going to agree that it was found in 2009. It was presented to Chevron, and then the determination if the allocation was correct or not took a while to get that resolved.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the committee?
Did you get your money back from MNS, or did you say that?
We got a portion of it back. MNS has a statute of limitation of 6 years.
Oh, okay.
So we were able to go back 6 years and recoup from them.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir, Mr. Lambert.
Are you disagreeing with the staff report, basically? Is that what's going on here?
Well, we're not disagreeing. We're asking for a waiver of the penalty.
And what would be your justification for that? You said this has been going on for 6 years, this process?
Yes, sir. The justification of that is that we found it through an internal audit, and then working with Chevron, the communication back and forth.
Chevron is
the
operated it, or sir. What?
They prepared the allocation once the oil is commingled from the state lease.
Why did your funds get commingled between federal and state, just out of curiosity? How did that happen?
It's the ownership between, there's a state lease property that flows through the main pass 77.
Is this legal commingling?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir, it is.
That's what it sounds like.
So throughout the commingling process, there was 2 meters. The state lease flowed through the meter number one, and then it's commingled and goes into the meter number two, which handles the federal property on the main pass 77. In their allocation, they needed to back out the state lease from the meter two. In essence, they didn't, and that's what was discovered in our internal audit. So based on that, then once we presented that to Chevron, then again, the back and forth took place. We got an agreement that the allocations were wrong. They were corrected, and at that point we did remit the royalties.
Well, let me ask staff this question. Were you familiar with what he's talking about when you made your recommendation?
No, I was not aware of the details or that much detail of the situation. I was only aware that Apache conducted an internal audit and discovered they had paid it to MMS instead of us.
Do you have any reason not to stand on your recommendation this morning?
My recommendation is always made within protocol. So
what they're asking us to do is change protocol?
We've looked at different situations.
Do we do that customarily?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to find out.
Thank you.
Okay. That's all.
Any recommendations? Any comments, Mr. Sanders?
Yes, Sanders again. First, I want to compliment you that this was handled and found by an internal audit. That saves you a lot of time, that saves the state a lot of time. But it's a long time for the state to be deprived of its portion of the royalties to which they were entitled because of some actions on other parties. It's commingling, payment to the wrong entity, Mineral Resources, MMS. And we are charged again with trying to be certain that, and we are, I can speak from my experience here, we're eminently fair with people, and we have waived penalties. But again, this is a long time, and we compliment you on the prompt reporting of it, but the delay is an awful long time, and I find it very difficult to go against staff's recommendation, particularly with the time involved. That's my view.
Any other comments or questions?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir, Ms. Long.
Can you tell me what the time frame of production is for the request that you're asking for a waiver for?
January 20, 2003 through I think it was November of 2007.
January 2003 to
November of 2007 is the audit exception.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the committee?
If I made a motion, are we finished with discussion?
We never finish with discussion until the motion is approved.
I made a motion to accept the staff recommendation. Could I get a second?
The staff recommendation is to...
is no waiver in accordance with the protocol.
I'll second it.
I'd like to have some discussion. It has been moved by Mr. Landry, second by Mr. Sanders to waive none of the penalty, keep it intact. I think it's important for us to realize that this was not done as an internal audit on the staff's part. It was done, they found the problem. They sat on it for 3 years once they found out. But it did eventually give us 100% of the royalties, 100% of the interest, correct?
Yes, sir.
And asking for some relief on a penalty.
Yes, sir.
What was Mr. Lambert's motion?
No penalty waiver.
Correct. Well, let me ask you this.
I'll withdraw my second so we can discuss.
All right. The staff makes recommendations.
This one was based on protocol that we set. Correct.
Well, and if it's protocol, it's based on history. It's based on things that have worked in the past.
Correct.
Excuse me if I might. It's based on a board resolution. We do have a board resolution that establishes this.
From this board?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How long ago?
It was reaffirmed, I believe, in 2011.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to do, and y'all, I apologize to y'all if I've created any uneasiness.
Not at all.
I don't know if I have or not, but I'm trying to learn the system here. I mean, is this a situation where everything is reduced?
No, sir.
That's not what we're looking at here.
No, sir.
I mean, we issue a staff recommendation and then we negotiate it down? Is that...
Well, I think board has...
Yeah,
we're looking at where the operator acted in good faith and presented information to us, which we did not know.
So every case is not like that. I mean, every bucket, so to speak, has to sit on its own bottom.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I'm still going to make the motion, even if it...
That's fine.
Mr. Lambert, may I hear your motion again, please?
I believe Mr. Lambert's motion was to go with staff recommendation of no penalty waiver. Is that correct? Mr. Lambert, your motion was to
go with staff recommendation. Yeah.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further comments or questions? Any comments or questions from the public? All right. It is moved and seconded. Is there anyone in favor of the motion?
Does anyone object to the motion?
That's right. Is anyone object to the motion?
No, I do.
Are raising anyone object to the motion?
You're okay.
I'm objecting to the motion, correct. All right, so the motion passes with zero waiver. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Item 3.
Item number 3 is a penalty waiver request from Tammany Oil and Gas, LLC, for a penalty in the amount of $20,001.08 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit for June 2003 through December 2010 began on May 14, 2012. Total royalty collected for the audit period was $4,716,919.90. This was the first audit of Tammany Oil and Gas, LLC. They were very cooperative with accommodations and scheduling. Auditors had ready access to personnel, but did have a few problems obtaining some of the records. The principal and interest assessed was paid timely by Tammany. The company has taken some corrective measures to prevent future recurrence of these errors. Tammany Oil and Gas, LLC, paid the state a total of $55,766.99 in royalty exceptions and $28,662.73 in interest. In accordance with the penalty waiver protocol, staff is recommending a 75% waiver. The amount of the reduction would be $15,081, with a balance of $5,027 owed the state.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. You've heard the staff's report and recommendation. Got a motion to approve. Mrs. Schuster, approve the staff recommendation. Is there a second?
Still on item two.
Is there a second to approve staff recommendation on item three? I guess there's...
Second.
Mr. Cordero has made a second. So it's been moved by Mr. Hsu, second by Mr. Cordero. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there anyone opposed? Hearing none opposed, item carries. Motion carries. Item four.
Item number four is a request to grant Chesapeake Operating a second 90-day extension from May 1st, 2013 for a payment made under protest as a result of a field audit. Limited scope audit of all gas pricing in connection with the Haynesville Shale was conducted for the period July 2009 through June 2010. And if you'll recall, we did have this one appear before the board in February for an original extension. This is the second one. An original billing letter was issued January 27, 2011 for $84,187.66 in audit exceptions. Chesapeake remitted payment under protest on February 28, 2011. Since that time, we have been in contact with Chesapeake to work out the issues. An audit revision was issued on April 16, 2013, but we do continue to work with Chesapeake on additional issues outstanding. Staff is currently working with the AG's office on this issue. Staff is requesting a 90-day extension of the payment under protest period from May 1st, 2013 to continue working with Chesapeake towards resolution.
Yes, sir. Heard the staff's report and recommendation.
I have a question.
Moved by Mr. Lambert, second by Mr. Cordero. Question by Mr. Sanders. Yes, sir.
Ms. Rachel, your explanation is very erudite, but I'm still having a little bit of trouble following this. We dealt with this previously, have we not?
We gave them one extension on the audit. If you recall, we established a resolution within this last year for any payments made under protest for an audit. This one was prior to the resolution being established, but the resolution stated that if it wasn't resolved by January 31st, we would return those funds. Anything outside of that would come to the board for approval. That's the case here. This audit has been outstanding for a little while, and their payment under protest expired January 31st of this year. So we came in February to get an extension, a 90-day extension from January 31st going forward. It is expiring for May, so we're asking for a second extension to work out the issues because we are working with Chesapeake on this audit.
I don't want to get into any deep discussions here, but I see that we're dealing with the Attorney General's, our legal advisor on this issue.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to get into the issues there. So there is an issue that's unresolved about the amount of royalty that is actually owed by Chesapeake.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'll second the motion.
The motion is moved and seconded. Any further questions or discussions from the committee? Any from the public? Is anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item five.
Item number five is the staff report to the committee that the election for May 2013 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. There's no further items on the agenda. We are adjourned. Yes.
Mr. Arnold, before we adjourn.
like to go back to item number two and get clarification possibly from our attorneys on Robert's Rules of Order. When we have a motion and a second and there's an objection to the motion, should the board have a roll call vote?
I'm not sure I understand the issues all of
them. Would one of the attorneys please come to the mic and answer that question? Thank you.
What were the circumstances of it specifically? I didn't catch how the vote went.
Item number two, we had a motion and a second, and we had an objection to the motion. Should we have a roll call vote on that motion since there was an objection to it?
No, we don't need to have a roll call vote. Just note for the record the objection and move on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further comments or questions from the committee? All from the public? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to proceed with the legal entitlement?
Can I ask a general question?
Yes, sir.
Does our staff have the right to, I'm just for my own information, to negotiate with anyone coming before the board without permission of the board? Do they have that right? I know they correspond, but like, for example, in that Hillcroft case, did they have the legal authority to sit down and try to, if they had questions, they could iron out? I mean, is that the procedure?
There's a limited scope that they have. And they can do that, you told me? To be approved by us, yes, sir.
We ultimately require to approve anything that they work out. Obviously.
I just wonder how mechanically
I would. Yes, sir. Do we have time to get started with legal title? Or? Okay.
Call to order. Call to order the Legal and Title Controversy Committee. Good morning, Mr. Heck.
Good morning, sir.
I want to get to the pleasantries first. It's good to see you, sir.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm glad that you're progressing. Thank you very much. Before we get to business, let me call the roll. Mr. Segura.
He came in and left.
I saw he was here.
He's in there.
Mr. Arnold. Mr. Brouillet. Mr. Chute.
Here.
Mr. Cadera.
Here.
Mr. Lambert.
Here.
Mr. Miller. Mr. Morton. Sanders is present. Mr. Smith. Mr. Klein. We have a quorum. And who's going to present this morning? I want to designate that person.
I think Mr. Heck is going to let me do it. And
all right. Well, I'll designate you to report to us, sir.
Thank you, sir. Us.
Thank you.
Item number one is a request for final approval of a compromise and settlement agreement by and between the State of Louisiana et al. And Forest Oil Corporation, whereas said parties agreed to settle audit claims affecting state lease numbers 3035-10061-10730-10731-10732-13625-14374. In Jefferson and Platteman Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument on the docket as item number 1316. Settlement was agreed upon in principle at the March 13, 2013 Audit Committee meeting, subject to the drafting of an agreement document. Staff recommends final approval of the compromise and settlement agreement by and between the State of Louisiana, the Louisiana State Mineral and Energy Board, the Louisiana Department of Natural Resources, and Forest Oil Corporation. It has been executed and duly advertised and is on the docket for final approval as item number 1316.
What's the pleasure of the board? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the motion. We'll hear a second. Thank you, sir. Any discussion? Any questions? The board. Any questions by the public for discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion unanimously adopted.
Item 2 is a request by Energy 21 for the authority to negotiate with the staff for an operating agreement in the South Freshwater Bayou Field in Vermilion Parish, and a request to take the acreage out of Commerce and to negotiate for an operating agreement to take the acreage out of Commerce and make it unavailable until August the 14th, 2013, whichever comes first. This is a salvage deal on the part of Energy 21. They have drilled to the Chris I RASUA, a depth of about 22,300 feet. This has been a costly well somewhere in the neighborhood of $200 million. The aforementioned leases have been expired, they've been released, and they've been put back into Commerce. Energy 21's intent would be to re-enter the Chris A, RASUA, McElhenney No. 1 well and attempt to establish production in a shallower zone within the existing unit. It is a recommendation that the board grant staff the authority to negotiate with Energy 21 Gulf Coast, Inc. for an operating agreement covering 553.534 acres of former state lease numbers 18179, 18180, 18197, 18198, and 18199 in South Freshwater Bayou Field, Vermilion Parish, Louisiana, and that the acreage in question be deemed unavailable for leasing until August 14, 2013, or until an operating agreement is confected and placed on the Mineral and Energy Board docket for approval, whichever occurs first.
Give me a
recognize Mr. Arnold.
Thank you. Who are the previous leaseholders on these five leases, is it?
I'd be shooting from the hip to say that they were the initial lessee. I can get that answer for you.
Okay, sir. Energy 21?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. I move to approve staff's recommendation.
Mr. Arnold moves to approve. Do I hear a second?
A request. Their request.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Klein, for the second. Is there any discussion by the board on this motion? Any discussion or question by the public on this motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is adopted unanimously.
Item number 3 is a request by TPIC to negotiate with staff to amend the operating agreement A003, which would include language which provides the operator with the ability to maintain the property by in-lieu state production, interest payments, oil and gas payments, and other language required by prior resolutions. Operating agreement A003 was given back in 1956, and it does not contain any language concerning shut-in payments, force majeure, and continuous operations that would normally provide for the maintenance and orderly development of the operating track. The number one well is not producing because of a failed saltwater disposal well. The operating agreement cannot be maintained because of the absence of continuous drilling operations, shut-in payments, or force majeure clauses within the agreement. More importantly, the terms to the said agreement provides for 50% interest as to the 16.814 acres. Therefore, it is the recommendation that the board grant staff authority to negotiate with Texas Petroleum Investment Company to amend the operating agreement A0003 in Iberia Parish, Louisiana, to provide all necessary language to permit in-lieu state production interest payments and the orderly development and maintenance of the operating track and other language required by prior resolutions.
Question, please.
Mr. Lambert, do you
yes.
move?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Lambert.
That's a question.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to add, I'm sorry.
Question, sir.
Is it appropriate?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you this. Is this well actually producing now?
No, sir, it's not.
Because they do not have a salt water injection process available. It failed, the salt injection process.
Yes, sir.
So what are the plans here? I know they're asking for some concessions, which makes sense to me. But what are the plans to come up with a disposal plan so they can begin again the drilling process?
Well, I think part of the problem is the lack of the requirements in the old operating agreement. And once we can get those in place, I think we would have a better direction.
There's other ways to dispose of the salt water. Is that what you're telling
me? No, sir. I'm thinking that we don't have enough teeth in our bite with the standard language we have. Once we be able to include these languages, add them to the operating agreement, it'll give both parties more direction as to how to move forward.
All right. Thank you.
There's a representative from TPIC here. If you'd like to ask him questions.
Yes, sir. My name is Scott Patton. I'm an attorney here in Baton Rouge. I represent TPIC on this matter. And just to give a little more color to what Mr. Fontenot said and address your question, Mr. Lambert, there's actually four wells that are producing that are affected by the failure of the saltwater disposal well. And I'm not an engineer, but apparently the saltwater disposal well has filled in. That's what they're telling me. And so there's two options that they're undergoing right now. One is to repair this well and to make it operational, but they're also have a permit pending with the Office of Conservation to convert a prior well, the Williams K4 well, to a saltwater disposal well. I don't know the status of that permit, but TBIC is looking at both of those options in order to get all four of these wells back on production.
In your process, do you haul? They used to. I'm not up to date. So do you haul salt water to? Can you haul it to another injection well? That's too expensive.
I just have to say I'm ignorant of the actual technical process of how the salt water gets transferred. I don't know if it's by.
Because that's what we did on the Public Service Commission. Mm-hmm. We grant authority to companies to vacuum truck.
Yes, sir.
Authorities to transfer. I just wondered. I just wondered what the process is now.
And I think in this case that this one well was servicing all of these wells in this field. There's a number of units and actually two state operating agreements that are affected by this. I think that they feel that it's most economical to either first see if they can repair this well or convert the other well to a saltwater disposal and hopefully get these things back producing as soon as they can.
I accept the staff's recommendation.
Do we have a motion? Okay.
Second.
Do we have any comment or question by the board on this motion? Any objection on this motion? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Patton.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for appearing today. Appreciate you very much.
Item number four is a request by staff to adopt a board policy whereby applicants are granted a single period of 24 hours to correct nominations and comply.
Excuse me, I'm told that it's 11 o'clock and we have to recess at the moment. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's fine.
To you.
Any motion going to recess?
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're in recess. Thank you.
All right. This time I'd like to open the regular board meeting. Ms. Talley, could I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Brouillette? Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert? Present. Mr. Miller? Mr. Morton, Mr. Sanders, present, Mr. Smith, and Mr. Klein. Mr. Klein is present. Mr. Chairman, we have eight members present and a quorum.
Great, thank you. Item two is the approval of the April 10th, 2013 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those?
Second.
Move by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment or questions? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Right now, then, I'd like to recess the regular meeting and go into back into the committee meetings and finish those, and then we'll come back into the regular meeting. Do you have a motion to recess?
Move.
The motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Schutz. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We are in recess.
Mr. Emil?
Item number four is a request by staff to adopt a board policy whereby applicants are granted a single period of 24 hours to correct nominations and comply with requirements and policies. If a nomination fails to comply with legal, procedural, and technical requirements as well as any current policies and practices, the Petroleum Land Section personnel notify applicants of the non-compliance items. Presently, the applicant shall effect compliance during a 48-hour grace period, or the nominations will be rejected in return. This section, like many others, has suffered considerable staff reduction, and they're doing their best not to fall behind in processing nominations. The number of nominations received each month continues to increase. We began in 2013 with 18 nominations. We are up to 80 nominations for June and 83 nominations for July. The increasing number of nominations creates a risk that the staff will be unable to process all nominations received timely and will have to roll some nominations over to the following month. The reduction in time will speed up the correction of compliance issues and ensure that all nominations are processed for the month received. It's the recommendation of the staff that the board adopt a policy of a 24-hour grace period for applicants submitting nominations with non-compliance items.
Do you understand that? What's the pleasure of the board?
I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Zagura, for the second. Any discussion by the board? Any question or discussion by the public on this motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number five is a request by Destin Operating to negotiate with staff for a lease amendment pertaining to State Lease 19385, which would provide for additional shut-in payment, which would include a new shut-in payment terms of $50 per acre and include other language required by prior resolutions. State Lease number 19385 was awarded to DEFCO Exploration, Inc. on March the 9th, 2007. By subsequent assignments, Destin Operating Company, Inc. is the current owner of said lease. The State Lease number 19385, number one well, was drilled, tested, and qualified as a commercially productive well in 2010. The lease has been maintained by bonus, rentals, and shut-in rental payments since May the 9th, 2007. Destin has made six consecutive shut-in payments, the maximum allowed under the terms of the lease. Destin has not placed the well or the lease on production during the first six consecutive shut-in payments permitted under the lease. The critical date for this lease is July the 14th, 2013. Destin met with the staff on May the 1st, 2013, and presented evidence that they would be able to commercially produce the well by January the 14th, 2014, or they would plug and abandon the well. With that, it would be the recommendation that the board grant staff the authority to negotiate with Destin Operating Company, Inc. for a lease amendment on State Lease 19385 for an additional shut-in payment, which would include the new shut-in payment term of $50 per acre or equivalent to $10,750, and include other language required by prior resolutions.
Pleasure of the board.
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Kader. I hear a second. Thank you, Mr. Martin, for the second. Any discussion by the board? Any question by the board? Any public or comment or discussion or question? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number six is a request by Hillcore Energy 1LP for acceptance of a supplemental delay rental payment in the amount of $451.66 on State Lease number 20501, Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana, which would, together with the insufficient payment of $147,072.67 previously paid by Hillcore Energy 1 LP prior to the anniversary date of December 8, 2012, comprised the entire delayed rental payment due on said lease number 20501 in the amount of $147,524.33 and sufficed to maintain the lease in force until December the 8th, 2013. The staff recommends that the board adopt Hillcore Energy 1 LP supplemental delay rental payment in the amount of $451.66 and that the Mineral and Energy Board deem that the delay rental of state lease number 20501 has been paid timely and thereby maintain said lease in full force and effect until December the 8th, 2013.
Move to approve.
Who's the second, please? Thank you. Mr. Segura. Any comment or question by the board on this motion? Any objection to the motion? Hear none, the motion carries. Thank you, Mr.
Item number 7 is a request by QEP to grant authority to negotiate for an operating agreement covering 600 acres of title disputed lands located in sections 12, 13, and 14, Township 14 North, Range 12 West in Red River Parish, Louisiana, and that the acreage be taken out of commerce until August the 14th, 2013, or until an operating agreement is confected with it, whichever occurs first. Discussions with staff are ongoing, but we need more time to perfect the agreement. Staff recommends that the board extend the previously granted authority to negotiate with QEP Energy Company for an operating agreement on February 13, 2013, covering approximately 600 acres of title disputed lands located in sections 12, 13, and 14, Township 14 North, Range 12 West, Red River Parish, Louisiana, and that the acreage in question be deemed unavailable for leasing until August the 14th, 2013, or until an operating agreement is confected and placed on the Mineral and Energy Board docket for approval, whichever occurs first.
I can make a motion to approve staff recommendation for an extension.
Thank you for the motion. Your second. Mr. Lambert, thank you for the second. Any discussion by the board or question? Any public comment or discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number 8 is a request by TANA Exploration et al. For authority to negotiate with staff for a lease amendment on state lease number 19718 situated in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana to extend the primary term for a period of 6 months or until January the 9th, 2014, and to amend said lease to include other language required by prior resolutions. This lease is subject of a pending federal state voluntary unit for a well which is currently drilling in federal waters on OCSG 31442. The State Mineral and Energy Board approved the voluntary unit at its April 10, 2013 mineral sale meeting, and TANA et al. Are waiting for final approval by the federal government. They are hoping to have the final approval in hand by now, but in a recent telephone conversation with federal regulatory officials, they were told it may be some time before they reach a final agreement. Additionally, the board resolution dated February 10, 2010, amended November the 9th, 2011, the board adopted a policy that any request for an extension of the primary term of a lease be made at least 90 days before the date of the Mineral and Energy Board meeting on which such request will be acted on, it being the board's discretion to act on requests outside of the policy on a case-by-case basis. This lease expires on July 9, 2013. Therefore, we are asking for an exception to the resolution to negotiate a lease amendment on state lease number 19718 situated in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana to extend the primary term for a period of 6 months or until January the 9th, 2014 and to amend said lease to include other language required by prior resolutions. Randy Sanjay with the owner Bain firm representing TANA et al. Would like to address the board.
Morning, sir.
Good morning.
State your name for the record, please.
My name's Randall Songe. I'm an attorney with the Audubon Law Firm in Lafayette, Shreveport, and I'm here on behalf of TANA Exploration.
Thank you, sir. Proceed.
I'd like to add to Emil's comment because I do want to recognize the importance of the board's 90-day policy on lease extensions. It's an excellent policy. We don't take lightly asking you for an exception to that policy. But we do have quite an unusual situation here, and granting an exception will benefit the state, as I'll explain, and it will not lead to numerous other exceptions to that policy. As Emil said, the state lease expires on July 9th of this year. The adjacent federal lease had an expiration of April 30th, 2013. And the lessees of both leases are LLOG and Dynamic Exploration. Late last year, my client, TANA, came in as sort of a white knight to develop under a farm-out agreement both the state lease and the federal lease before they expired. So the prospect that they see is primarily on the federal lease, but it spills over onto state lease 19718. And the well is currently drilling on the federal lease, as Emil said. It's about 1,000 feet away from the state lease line, and it's currently drilling below 9,000 feet. It's a 15,000-foot test, an expensive well. And the feds, generally, they do not agree to unitize until after the well's down and completed in this situation, and that wasn't going to work here with our deadlines. So we went in and asked the state and the federal officials if they would consider approving a unit prior to drilling and completion of the well. So we're asking the feds particularly to get out of their box a little bit. It's not their standard procedure. You guys do consider pre-drill units where appropriate, but the feds generally do not. So the issue for the feds is not the unit agreement itself or the language. They've approved that already, the unitization supervisor and their staff. The issue for them is whether they can approve it prior to completion of the well or whether they have to wait till after. And we're waiting to hear back from them on that. And so we really not sure what they're going to tell us. They could tell us no, in which case we would not have a vehicle to maintain the state lease beyond its expiration. And so what we're asking for you today is to authorize the staff to negotiate with us for a potential lease extension in case the feds tell us no in the next few weeks. That would come up at the June meeting, and the six-month extension would then allow for the well to be completed and a post-completion unit, which is in accordance with the Fed's normal policy, would have time to go through. And again, they've looked at the unit. They agree with our unit size, the allocation, the language. It's just a question for them legally whether they can convince the regional supervisor to do it before completion of the well. So, again, it is an exception to your policy, but this is not a situation that's going to happen a lot. There's good benefit for the state. It's a well on the federal lease about 1,000 feet away from your property, and we're working to try to get the state some participation in that well. So we'd ask, again, to give the staff authority to negotiate that lease extension.
Thank you, sir, for your presentation. What's the pleasure of the board? Thank you, Mr. Arnold. I have a motion from Mr. Arnold. Your second? Thank you, Mr. Schutte, for the second. Any discussion of this motion? Any objection to the motion? Any discussion by the board to this motion? Any question by the board? Any public question or comment concerning the motion? Any objection to the motion by the board? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for coming to see us today.
The final two items are to be taken up in executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Emil. Yes, I do. We have a motion for executive session. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Mr. Segura. Any objection? Hear none. Thank you.
Watch him come down. Just stand right there. Watch him come down. Make sure. Just stand by.
Yeah, the last step.
He doesn't want to take those that walkways. He likes the stairs. He doesn't want to take that walkway.
Got to keep up the old.
That's it. Thank you.
Move.
Ready to proceed?
I think Mr. Lambert was going to make the motion on item 9.
Well, I'd like to move that the settlement offer presented under item 9 be rejected by the board.
Here a second. Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Any discussion? Any comment or discussion by the public? Any objection to the motion? Here none. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Lambert.
And the final item on the agenda that was for discussion only, no action is needed.
Thank you. Motion adjourned. Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Klein. The objection, we're adjourned. Now can I go take care of my business? Where are we going to look all this?
Okay, the docket review committee will come to order. I'll call the roll. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Schutz?
Here.
Cadell?
Here.
Lambert? Martin?
Here.
Sanders?
Present.
Klein?
Here.
There's a quorum. Will the staff please present its recommendations to the committee at this time?
Yes, sir. The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office.
State your name for the record.
Macy Dennis, Land Manager.
Go ahead.
The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the May 8, 2013 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve item number 1. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 through items 15. Item 16, approved, subject to the approval of the Governor of Louisiana. Please approve items number 17 through items 33. For items 34 through items 37, please approve, subject to the approval of the Governor of Louisiana. Please approve items number 38 through items number 40. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries State Agency lease transfers, there were no items submitted for this category. For Category D, advertised proposals, please approve item number 1, and this will complete the staff's recommendations.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to make a comment? Any board comments? I'll entertain a motion at this time to accept the staff recommendations, and Mr. Cadero makes that motion. Mr. Arnold seconds that motion. Is there any objection? No objection, so ordered. I need a motion to adjourn this committee. Mr. Cadero, Mr. Segura, any objection? No objection, so ordered. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
All right, at this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to go back in the regular session of the board meeting. Moved by Mr. Klein, seconded by Mr. Schutz. Any comment, questions, public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We're back in regular session. Item 3 is the adoption of the committee recommendations. I'd like to take item A and B, the lease review committee and nomination and track committee. Do I have a motion to approve those committee recommendations of those two committees? Moved by Mr. Cadero, seconded by Mr. Lambert. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Isn't that committee recommendations? Yes. Of just lease review and nomination and track. Okay. So we have two motions by Mr. Cadero and Mr. Lambert. All approve? All for? All against? The motion carries. Item C is the audit committee. Do we have any questions or discussion concerning the audit committee?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the audit committee recommendations with the exception of item number 2. I would like that item to be put back on the agenda for next month's meeting.
I so move.
Say that again.
I would like to approve the audit committee's recommendation except for item on the agenda, item number 2.
Okay.
I would like that item to be brought up again at the next month's meeting.
I move to approve his recommendation.
So we have a motion by Mr. Arnold to approve and a second by Mr. Lambert to approve the audit committee recommendations except for item number
two.
Item number two, which will be deferred until the next meeting.
Correct.
All right. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? All for?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item D is Legal and Title Controversy Committee, and E is the Docket Review Committee. Any discussions or questions? Okay, we have a motion to approve by Mr. Arnold, second by
Mr. Lambert.
Mr. Lambert, any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Those committee recommendations are approved. Item four is our executive session for our technical briefing. Do I have a motion to go into executive session? Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Klein. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We are in executive session for our technical briefing. We'll be back shortly. If everyone's ready, I'd like to entertain a motion to go back into regular session from out of executive session. Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Klein. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We are back in regular session. Mr. Victor Vaughn will present the technical briefing. I appoint him to do such.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On track number 43192, the staff recommends the bid of KEPCO Operating Incorporated. On track 43204, we have a bid by Gold King Resources, LLC. The staff would like to advise the board that this is an acceptable bid as far as the price per acre and the royalty that was bid along with the bonus. The remaining tracks, the staff would recommend that those bids be accepted.
Okay. Do you have any discussion, questions from the board?
Motion. I would like to make a motion to accept staff's recommendation with the exception of track number 43204. I would like to actually defer action on that till the next meeting, but there seem to be some issues that need to be resolved before we award that staff.
I'll second the motion.
At least.
Sanders, yep. Second.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept all of the bids except to defer the bid on track number 43204. We have a second by Mr. Sanders. Any further discussion or questions? Any public comment? Could you just identify yourself?
I'm Linda Morgan. I'm with Gold King. Work with Harold Anderson.
With who?
Harold J. Anderson, Inc.
Okay.
We represent Gold King here. I heard 43204 was, I didn't hear if it was unaccepted or accepted.
Well, with deferred action.
Neither, it's deferred.
Okay. And should
you,
I stay
with
and will be reconsidered.
All right.
In the future. Anyone else? Mr. Jackson. Yes. Speak with. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We have a motion and second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bond. Item 6 is the legislative auditor report.
Board members, you have in your binders a copy of a report issued by the Legislative Auditor's Office. Our office was audited by the Performance Audit Division, and they issued a what they call a brochure report. It has no recommendations in it. Basically, the report's findings were that all of our mineral royalty rates are in line with what other states do. They addressed the issue of renegotiating royalty rates on older leases to bump them up to current rates. They found no other states do that, and they did not recommend that we do that. And that's in your packet for you to take and read at your leisure.
All right. So that audit report is in your packet. If you want to take it out, it's in the back of the binder. You can then bring it home. Right behind the agenda. Item 7 is the announcements.
The total for today's lease sale is $592,552.07, bringing the fiscal year-to-date total to just over $15.7
million. All right, thank you. Any further announcements or business? If not, all in favor of adjourning? All opposed? The motion carries.
What did you have, Colin?